This is Heavenly Father. I thank you, Lord, for things you have inspired me and impressed on me to do research and study on. And here I am now in front of this local congregation here, Lord, just to share with them what I see, Lord, that which you have impressed on me to. And I pray that you, Lord, give me the words to say, put the words in my lips, Lord, that whatever I say would be uplifting or to my fellow brethren here. Thank you for the strength you've given to me, Lord, to this past week, and give me good health for this day. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My title for this sharing is Our Time of Conquest. I read a lot of the books that deal with time, chronology. George Tico, if you know the book, is Time and the Signs and the Hidden Something of God, where he will look at time sequences and you build a chart and things like that. And is this event going to happen? And then the number of years between the events that create a pattern, as God always creates a beautiful pattern in His Word. Also, the other book is Daniel Metzer, Signs of the End. And they also go on, other than documenting the time chronology of the past, they try to predict the future. The other book is, I don't actually have that book, J.R. Church, Hidden Prophecies in Psalms. I don't know where I actually read his articles. I couldn't find where I read quite a bit. Anyway, it's his work. That's what it is. So the content I have are 40 years, 205, Joshua's Conquest Canaan, Israel's 70th year, last two prophecies, Psalms 1 to 119, Psalms 120, and Transmission. Nothing to do with 490 signs. Okay, 40 years and 205. I'm sure this number is something that we always come across. Remember, Brother had a dream, and the 3rd October 205. So what is that? Our pastor also don't really figure out what that was. But I'm trying to figure out what it is. I'm not prophesying. I'm just sharing what I studied. So I am going to boldly do what George Curl and Daniel Messon is doing, predicting the future. Right. So, okay, Exodus 11 was, that's 40 years. And I'm going to type that 40 years to brother, and he departed in 1965. And you add 40 years to that, 2005. So there is a period of 40 years. And for George Curl, his calculations ended, one of them ended in 2005. And you know, George Curl is really passed away. So this is prediction of the future. He called that terminus equum, which means end of the 70th week. That means at the very end of tribulation, Armageddon, and that end. And he believed in post tribulation rapture. So that was his prediction. And of course, you know, it's not come to pass. So, okay, this is our timeline. 40 years since Brother Branham departed, that brings us to here. Okay, so that's my conclusion of 2005. It begins a new time for us, and this is our present, this is where we are now. Okay, Joshua's conquest. So after Moses departs, Joshua takes over. And Joshua is a type of our Lord. And it begins the conquest of Canaan land. So, what is the duration of the conquest? That's the thing. If you read Joshua, he's not going to plainly tell you, year what, we finish conquest, and then what. You'll find that. But it's calculable, near the age of Caleb, ages, how old they are. Mostly Caleb, not so much Moses. So, with some help from Ivan Penning's spiral chronology, I calculated it. So let's begin with that. Exodus 7:7. So it says here, Moses was 80 years old. He spoke to Pharaoh, and in the same year, the Exodus began. So back then, Exodus year 1, Moses was 80 years old. So, and then he began Joshua's. Numbers 9, 1. All my verses, by the way, are in Amplified Version. So in the first month of the second year after they had come out from the land of Egypt. Okay. So 12 days, second month. Since leaving Egypt, the presents were taken out from the tabernacle. They were at Mount Sinai. So they left Mount Sinai in the second year to go out to Paran. Okay? So they left Mount Sinai and went to Paran. Went north towards the Promised Land. So here we go. Second year, they left Mount Sinai. And that same year, 12 spies were sent to scout the land. And of which one of them was Caleb. 40 years old was I, Caleb, when the Lord sent me to scout the land. So, using this 40 years to help me. So here you go, 40 years. Okay, so since then, and then Exodus year 40, what happens there? Deuteronomy 4:7 says, Moses was 120 years old and when he died. So, in that year of Exodus 40, you get Moses, and by that time, if you just add 2 years, Caleb is 78. Okay. So after Moses died, Joshua took over. Moses died at the end of the year, and then they mourn for him, and he goes to the following year, and that's the first year of conquest. The Lord commanded Joshua immediately to start. They came out of Jordan, they crossed Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Okay, and they came east of Jericho. So, conquest year 1, and they crossed the Jordan in that year. Okay, from there we know where year 1 is. So, the Bible doesn't tell you year to year which battles they fought. And so, the next clue is the division of the land. In this year, Caleb asks for his inheritance. Joshua 14:10. So Caleb wants his inheritance for being faithful to the Lord as one of the 12 spies. So it says, these 45 years since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while the Israelites wandered in the wilderness, and now I, Caleb, am 85 years old. So this is the other clue to help me calculate the duration of the conquest. 45 years. Caleb is 85 years old. This is the year of division of the land. Year 7. The conquest, therefore, conclude, took 6 years. Okay. They have the entire land in the 7th year, and they start to divided, and the land had rest from war. And this, and this makes sense because we know in the Bible 7 always represents the Sabbath rest. So this is the 7th year, the year of rest, and it should not be a year where they are fighting and having war. We know that, and the Lord rested on the 7th day after creation. So the 7th year, they rested, and it makes sense that the conquest itself took only 6 years. So this I conclude. Now, if we put that to our time, 6 years from then, this and the Sabbath somewhere in 2011, and you understand what I mean by this word, Sabbath, okay? Yeah, I love that. So and we are here, not much more to go. Israel's 70th year. Now, I'm going further to make my theories more concrete. So, 1948, birth of Israel, and 2008 next year, which is just a week off. Yeah. Israel is the year where Israel is 60 years old. Okay. 1948 is 14th of May of that year, 1948. But Israel's National Day each year is on a different day on the Gregorian calendar, because they base their National Day on their Jewish calendar, which is something in Ilya. And so it's always different. But it's always around May or April. About 2018, Israel 70. Now, 70, we know 7 is a special number. And 70 is also a special number. So if I put 70 here, Israel being 70 years old here, somewhere in 2018, the difference from this point to this point is a magic number, 7 years. And if you're smart, I'm sure you know what these 7 years could be. Okay, move on to the next part. I'm going fast. The last two prophecies, it's Barabbas's prophecies. So we know that these things have come to pass in World War II. His prophecies have come to pass in chronological order. So you know, after World War II, Russia broke up, and yes, science has come to a point where cars no longer need drivers. I've seen a few years ago a documentary. Cars have lots of sensors, and this car can just tag behind the other car. You switch on, and then he can read his newspaper, and he just follow the car in front. And they also did some things. They put some magnetic strip down the road, and some sensor on the car, and the car can just drive down the road by itself. So it's not that everyone can own this car, but the science had advanced to that point. And we already know this one, America. Okay, the last two prophecies. So we know that there's a beautiful Latino woman who will rise to great power in the U.S. And you know that the fourth presidency will begin in 2009. And there's a good chance that this woman will be fulfilled by Hillary Clinton, of course. I get emails from my U.S. friend veterans, you know, the Pipers, and always sending emails, always making fun of Hillary and stuff like that. Then I feel like you should be happy that she's going to be president, because if she doesn't become president, then how this one's going to fulfill? You know, if she becomes president, then yay, another prophecy is fulfilled. And that only brings us closer to the rapture to go home. Mm-hmm. And after that, America will be destroyed, reduced to debris, craters, and smoke. Now, why I want to bring out these two last prophecies is because okay, we know a presidency starts in 2009 somewhere, so likely have a woman president there. It gives this period of time from the present to that Sabbath date works, because it gives enough time for these things to be fulfilled. So there's enough time. I mean, you can't have this earlier than that date or something like that. You can say, oh, the rapture happened tomorrow, but things have to run a sequence in the study of Bible chronology and prophecy. So things have, from what I believe, it has to be fulfilled. And this period of time left gives enough time for this to happen. Okay. And also, somewhere in between, there America will be destroyed. Okay, now onward to Psalms. Psalms 111 to 119. Right? But I'm not going through every single psalm. Now, in 1983, discovered and popularized by G.R. Church, Reverend Dr. G.R. Church, there's a remarkable timepiece in the study of time, Jesus, in the book of Psalms. Okay? Now, the 19th book of the Bible is Psalms. And there's a level of which each psalm corresponds to a year in the Gregorian calendar. So Psalms 1 is year 1901, Psalms 99, 1999, and Psalm 100 is the year 2000. Okay. I don't know if you subscribe to this, but I do. Now, and because Psalms is the 19th book from the front and 48 from the back, it gives you the year 1948, and that is the year of Israel becoming a nation. Okay, I'll give you some a gist of what I collect from G.R. Archer's study of Psalms. So, Psalm 17, which is supposed to be 1917. In that year, General Allenby took control of Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem was under the control of the Turks, Muslim, yeah, Turks, the Turkish people. So what he did was he frightened the Turks into surrendering by flying planes over the city. Now take note that this is 1917, a very primitive era in the war of aviation. Not everybody's flying a plane. So the Turks probably never saw a plane before. And when they see these strange birds flying over, they got scared. They vacated Jerusalem. And General Allenby actually just walked into the city without firing a shot. So that's how he took the city. He took the city by just flying planes over. So in Psalms 17 verse 8, according to G.R. Archer, it shows these things. Shadow of your wings, young lions are being the symbolic of Britain. Okay. Britain has likes to use lion emblem somewhere in their usually medieval days. So some of these points I don't really get much meaning, but later on I'll show you there's some more interesting one. Okay, Psalm 44, corresponding year 1944. What was going on then? Now do note, okay, World War II. Now do note that if you are going to start studying this also, that these psalms only, this prophecy of psalms only relate to Israel and Jews. It's not going to cover events that are happening to the rest of the world, Gentile nations. So whenever you read this, remember it's only documenting that which pertains to the to Israel. So then was the Holocaust in the year 1944. And Psalm 44:2, no, but for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep. Psalm 47. That year, the UNO, United Nations Organization, they voted on the 11th of December for the creation of Israel as a state. And Psalms 47, verse 4, He chose our inheritance for us, that's the Lord. And the princes and the nobles of the people gathered together. So they gathered together to vote for Israel. 1948, year of Israel, became a recognized nation. Behold, the kings assembled, and the birth of, and the birth pain of woman in childbirth. So, the birth of a nation. And if you will read the rest of Psalm 48, it's you get the feeling of it. Each chapter has its own feel. So, Psalm 67, 1967. This is the year of the Six-Day War. And what happened is that Israel captured Jerusalem on the 7th of June. When they became a nation, they didn't have Jerusalem in 1948. So, during the Six-Day War, they got Jerusalem back. And the earth yielded its harvest. Even our God will bless us. The earth, increase of the land. Psalms 82, 1982. Israel invades Lebanon, and they declare intention of eliminating the PLO. how long will you, magistrates, unjustly show partiality to the wicked? Do justice to the weak, fathers, maintain the rights of the afflicted and needy. I hope you are flipping along with the King James. Sometimes you get a different feel with different versions. And to rescue out from the hand of the wicked. Psalms 83. In this year, there was an international conference on the rights of the Palestinian people. So, they lay crafty schemes against your people and consult together against your hidden and precious ones. And they have said, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be in remembrance no more. But they are consulted together in one accord, in one heart, against you they make a covenant. Okay, his book was published in 1986, I think. So that's about it. He of course can't correlate events that haven't happened to Psalms. But these are my observations. Okay, because that's after his last 1986. Psalm 1990. What happened in that year? Remember, it was the Gulf War in that year. And the Soviet Union also in that year allowed Jews to migrate back to Israel. You turn man back to dust and corruption and say, return, O sons of these born. But I prefer this future ones, to me they're more concrete. Psalms 105, that magic year again, 2005. I caught this verse, He is our Lord God, His judgments are in the earth. He is earnestly mindful of His covenant, forever it is imprinted in His heart. The word which He commanded has established 1,000 generations. A covenant He made with Abraham, and He swore and promised to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying unto you, I will give the land as a measured portion, possession, and inheritance. So in this year, I'll say that is the year that end of the Exodus period, and then you now go and conquer the land of Israel, the land of your inheritance. So the Lord here remembers that, and He's going to keep His promise to give the land to us, and we are spiritual Israel. Okay. So here, Psalm 105, we've begun our conquest. Again, my observations. Psalm 106, 2006. So remember what happened last year to Israel. Israel gave the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians. And God wasn't happy. And He gave them war with the Hezbollah. Then they spurned and despised the pleasant and desirable land, Canaan. They believe not His word, neither trusting, relying, or holding on to it. There's another observation made by J.R. Church, which I try to follow also. Now you see, here it says verse 24. That's somewhere near the middle of the whole chapter. And these things happen around that same period. So it seems that verses also follow the season. If a chapter had 12 verses, each verse would sort of fall into place at each month of that year. If it was 24 verses, then each 2 verses is a month, something like that. I had a calculator, and therefore He lifted His hand as He taking an oath against them, and it caused them to fall in the wilderness. And this one is the war against Hezbollah. So what of the future? That was last year. So I'm going to go into the future now. Prediction, I'm not prophesying, I'm just sharing. Maybe you would also be motivated to do the same research as I have. The future. Right. Psalms 109. 2 years from now. Now, this is an interesting one. You get this verse, set a wicked man over him as a judge and let a malicious accuser stand at his right hand. Now, this is Amplified Version A. If I go to KJV, set down a wicked man over him and let Satan stand at his right hand. Who does this sound like? A man with Satan standing at his right hand. To me, that's why I put question mark. Is it that guy who's going to appear in that year? Because he has to appear, the one that would be, so that when war comes, he will make peace with Israel for 7 years, right? And then he'll break it in the midst of the week. Is this the character? And if you look into Psalms 109, and you read from like verse 7 to 20, it's cursing this guy. Let him be this. It's cursing. Every verse is cursing this wicked man with Satan standing at his right hand. It's really coincidental. Is that the year the Antichrist character will appear? Okay. Another year. Psalms 110, 2010. It's a psalm about the Lord destroying the enemies, and I think only 7 verses. You can take a look at that. The Lord will stand at your right hand, and he will shatter kings. And he will fill valleys with dead bodies. And he crushed the chiefs of lands many and far extended. And what do I think this chapter is trying to tell me? Well, Ezekiel 38:39, maybe. Because it seems to fall into place, these things. So, whether Ezekiel, somewhere here. See, there's enough time for things to happen within this before the Sabbath, in which I say Psalm 111, possibly rapture. Psalm 115, 2015. Why should the nations say, where is now their God? In other words, the nations would say, now where is their God? But why should they say that? It gives no reason for them to say that. Is it because the two witnesses were resurrected? Because Psalms 115 falls in the midst of the week. And it also says, O house of Aaron, which is talking about the priesthood, trust and lean on the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Is this also talking about the 144,000, which are supposed to be those who are after two witnesses came on the scene, and then you had 144,000 to lead the children of Israel during the time of tribulation. These are the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe that are ministers to the people. So, is that the midst of the week? Because this seems to make sense. Psalms 118. Remember, this 2018, Israel is 70 years old. And the Lord liked to work in numbers that have to do with 7. We know that 117 is the shortest chapter. We know 119 is the longest chapter. And 118 is the middle chapter of the whole Bible. And 1188 is the middle verse of the Bible. And you know that that says, it's better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than put confidence in that. Phenomenons like this in the Bible, having the longest and the shortest chapter encompass the middle chapter of the Bible in this particular year. Some more. And in that year, other than those nice verses, you have verse that goes, the nations, all nations, the surrounding tribes, they compass me about. What does that sound like? They compass me about. Yes, they surround me on every side. They swarm around me like bees. This is the Amplified Version. Is that Armageddon? Where even China, right? The King of the East is supposed to go over. Yeah. And also, in Psalm 118, open me a temple, gates of righteousness. Gate of the Lord. The key word here is gate. And what do you pass through gates? Sheep and goats. So we know from the study of eternity and time that after Armageddon, you have the dividing of the sheep and the goats also. But these things, someone will give a lot of supporting evidence. So here, sometime in 2018, probably near the end of the feast, last of the seven feasts, near the end of the year, you have Armageddon, dividing of the sheep and goats. Psalms 119. So what should Psalms 119 be, right? Psalms 119 is a longer psalm. He has books from Aleph to Tav. And, longer psalm. It's a psalm of peace. If you read it, it's always, praise the God, praise the Lord, and stuff like that. It's a very serene psalm compared to those in front. So there's a sudden change of mood. So the only, it's about, these are those key words on the top of my Bible. It's about open my eyes, just the beginning. I trust in Lord's word. I love the Lord's God, God's law. The word is very pure, great God's tender mercies. These are things that this psalm is always talking about. So is that the millennium rule of Christ? So here we go. Psalms 119. Beginning of the millennium. Okay. That completes this chart here. So I am hope that this is when it will be. I know the Bible says you don't know the day nor the hour. But I don't believe we don't know the season or the year. Perhaps the Lord will show us more when the season draws near. Even Ezekiel knew when he was going. And he went from town to town, and then the other prophets are telling Elisha, you know your master's going. He know beforehand. And even Enoch know beforehand. So we probably will know beforehand. Now Psalm 120. So this is the chapter that's after the peaceful Psalms 119. And the mood changes suddenly to one which is quite, it's one that changes to distress, accusations, and stuff like that. And it is made of seven verses, and I am for peace when I speak, but they are for war. So this is my guess as to what Psalms 120 represents. And if you read further, because Psalms is 150 books, and if you read further to the subsequent books all the way to 150, I don't want to draw more than that. It could be more of a new heaven, new earth thing, or how Lord's going to judge them on great white throne. A little too far in the future for me. Okay, so we are looking for the translation. It's our translation is the special one, the one where it's called the Rapture, and where we won't see death. So man is supposed to be born twice, die once, but let us be only born twice and die none. Right. So how do you get about in making that translation? Let us hear from the expert, and his name is Enoch. Not you, but the one that was some 5,000 plus years ago. Was it? Yeah, 6,000 plus. So Genesis 5:24 says Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God, and he was not, for God took him home with him. So in habitual fellowship with God. Okay, this is amplified. And the other verse, Hebrews 1:5, because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven, so he did not have a glimpse of death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received a testimony, still a record, that he pleased and been satisfactory to God. So let us be in habitual fellowship with God, and let us please and be satisfactory to God. Conclusion. So I typed the Moses and Joshua to our time. I'll show you how Israel's 70th year falls into place, and how the 70th week, which is their last 7 years, also falls into place. That there is enough time between now and 2011 for the fulfillment of Brother Branham's prophecies. And I also related how Psalms fits into each year of the Gregorian calendar. So what can I say? We are now at war, conquering Canaan land. And war is not an easy thing. You might read Baragan is going to come back, and he's already finished the book on Numbers. He's going to go on to Joshua. But in war, war is not a good thing. You know, you go and you have to fight. And yeah, we may read through Joshua, the first 11 chapters about the conquest of Canaan. Oh, and they defeat this and they defeat that. It's like so easy, you know, and they don't get hurt while doing it. But still, the men have to march, still have to camp, still have to labor and go and do the battle and to do the dirty thing of killing off. So we now, I type us, that's why I name my sharing as our time of conquest. For right now, we are in conquest. If you look a bit into Joshua, don't make the same mistakes. Achan, he took gold and silver and hid it in his tent. And when Israel went to conquer another city, his fellow man got slain, all because he took gold and silver that was consecrated to the Lord. And of course, he was punished for that. So don't make this mistake. In this war that we are in since 2005, this 7 years, many of us are going to make some serious mistakes. And that also, don't make other mistakes. They made a treaty with the Gibeonites, and Joshua was not happy with that. And Joshua, you know, our Joshua is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know our time. Let me remind you of the prophecy that Baragan had in year 2000. He says, "Ye my people, as thou hast truly given thy heart unto me, and thou hast proclaimed me in the midst that I have chosen thee, and that thou art my people. Yea, I have said it. I have shown thee former things that have come to pass. But I will show you new things to come. I will surely pour out my spirit and my words upon thee. I will lead thee in the days to come, and in leading thee I will guide thee, and I will surely chastise thee, and bring thee to a place of perfection. I will deal with thee as father would deal with a child, to bring him to a place of maturity, that I may truly adopt thee as my children, that thou may truly call me Abba Father, and worship me the Lord thy God, saith the Lord." So this is what the Lord is doing to us now, the chastisement to bring us to a place of perfection. I pray that we are all strong and good Christian soldiers to fight this war, this conquest of Canaan. Our fellow soldiers get tired, let us pick him up and move him along together. We do not abandon anyone. So thank you for listening, and I hope that this sharing would encourage you, spur you to do some serious Bible research. I don't know, I think I took a year or two to look at all these things. Even looking at the sun and the moon, the eclipse and solar eclipse and lunar eclipse. Because the Bible did talk about especially in the book of Revelation where the sun becomes black as sackcloth and the moon becomes red as blood. But I didn't find much there, so I'm going to share that.